As I'm sure we all know, we're beginning Lent later this week. So this is the last time we'll be saying Alleluia during a Sunday Mass until Easter. So I figured I'd tell you a short story about the word Alleluia. Now, growing up, when I was very young, before I could even speak well, we had a babysitter who was Hispanic who watched my sister and I when my mom was at work. And, you know, I remember she'd always have the radio on to some Mexican sports station. And some of my earliest memories from life are hearing the radio broadcaster scream, "Goal!" Anyway, when I learned to speak, I actually ended up learning to speak with a Hispanic accent because I listened to my babysitter talk and listened to the radio. Now, how this looked is that some English sounds were hard for me to pronounce correctly. For example, L's, as in the word Alleluia. Right, in Spanish, as many of you know, a double L creates a Y sound. Okay, so fast forward. When I was in Catholic grade school, at noon, every day, the principal would come on the intercom, and then a student would lead the whole school in two traditional Catholic prayers, the Angelus during ordinary time, or the Regina Caeli during Easter time. And we actually say these prayers here at St. John's before daily Mass now, so some of you might be familiar with them. Anyway, so students would take turns leading the prayers over the intercom for the whole school to hear. Well, finally, it came time for me to lead the prayers, and it was during Easter time. Now, that meant I was going to lead the Regina Caeli. In this prayer, there are a lot of Alleluias. You see where this is going. Queen of heaven, rejoice, Alleluia. For he whom you did merit to bear, Alleluia. As risen as he said, Alleluia. It keeps going, right? So, you know, being in grade school, I was very confident in my prayer reading skills. So, I began. Queen of heaven, rejoice, Alleluia. And then over the intercom, the principal interrupted me. Alleluia. For he whom you did merit to bear, Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia, Brian. Alleluia. This is a true story. You see, I had not realized that what was coming out of my mouth was actually not the right thing to say in the first place. I had to, in fact, retrain how I spoke. I began going to speech therapy after that. Why are you laughing? Until I began to speak normal again. Now, in today's first reading from the book of Sirach, we're told to be a sieve in this life. For those who might not know, a sieve is a utensil used for straining solids from liquids, for separating coarser from finer particles. And Sirach instructs us to be the sieve of our words. In other words, to sift our words and get rid of the evil that we speak, to remove the evil from our lips. Now, our Lord speaks in a general way on this same message in today's gospel. Before critiquing the splinters of others, he says that we must perceive the wooden beam in our own eye first. To rephrase it, we must focus on sifting our actions first and foremost before we worry about others. Examine our actions so that we can root out the sinful ones. These readings are a good pre-Lenten preparation, I think. I mean, after all, Ash Wednesday is this week. The readings remind us to examine ourselves in order that we may change, that we may grow in holiness and root out the sin that we commit daily. Lent, as we'll talk about more on Ash Wednesday and next Sunday, is all about renewal. We're called to renew, or perhaps even jumpstart our pursuit for holiness, our closeness with God. We have to invest time, prayer, and reflection to determine the solid foundation on which to live and be guided. And that first means we must learn where we are falling short. Now, today's first reading focuses on the need to sift our words, to remove any speech from our lips that is not of God. Now, this falls under the second commandment. You shall not take the Lord your God's name in vain. In our modern society, I don't need to say this, you already know, taking the Lord's name in vain has become sadly commonplace. Right? We use it as an expression to show surprise. Most people don't even realize they're saying it. Right? The phrase, "Oh my God," is thrown around so freely, not even realizing it's actually invoking God in vain, though. Even worse, people will say Christ's name explicitly when expressing disgust or fear or surprise, but never actually in reference to needing his help. Furthermore, inappropriate humor is another example of bad speech that needs to be sifted. We often forget that the very mouth that we speak from is the same mouth that we will receive our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. We must keep our language pure. Cursing, too, can cause scandal to those around us. You know, whenever I go to a WVU sporting event, people always start randomly apologizing to me. Why? Because they are cursing. And then they see a priest. And all of a sudden, they feel bad. Now, what I want to tell them is that they shouldn't apologize to me, but to our Lord. Now, if we struggle with any of these sins I've just mentioned, well, that can be part of our Lenten discipline, to focus on purifying, on sifting our words. A good rule of thumb is if you can't imagine the Blessed Mother saying those words, well, you probably shouldn't be saying them either. We must stand out to the culture around us by the way we carry ourselves, and that especially includes our speech, because our speech points to the status of our hearts. We must not be satisfied with ourselves if we frequently sin in our speech. St. James, in his epistle in the New Testament, would take up this theme very strongly when he writes, "If anyone thinks he is religious, but does not control his tongue, he deceives his heart, and his worship is in vain." Now, the best way to solve this issue, to sift our words or actions in general, is by taking them to Christ's mercy in the sacrament of confession. Lent is just days away. Trust me, we'll be talking about this a lot more. But if we haven't been to confession since Advent, now is the time to schedule a trip. When we come before our Lord in the confessional, we are noticing the wooden beam in our own eye. We are not able to take it out ourselves either. But that's okay. Our Lord is able, and he does so with tender hands. He lifts us back up on our feet and gives us the strength to keep on going and to be who we're called to be. We even have good examinations of conscience in the vestibule to help us if we haven't been to confession recently. And I love going to confession. I'm always saddened when I hear people are afraid of it. We shouldn't be. It's the opportunity to start over and admit we need God's help, especially with our quote-unquote favorite sins, the sins we frequently commit. Just as I didn't realize growing up that some of the words coming out of my mouth were wrong, so too can we not recognize that the words coming out of our mouth go against the second commandment. We must be willing to sift them out. And so, on this last Sunday in ordinary time, we must ask ourselves, what ways can I strive this Lent to purify my speech and give more honor to God through my words?